The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Women's Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericawomen.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Hi, I'm Shannon Skinner. Thanks for dropping in for another episode of Shannon Skinner Live. On today's show, it's all about surfing, health, and the environment. In the first half hour, I'll be speaking with the queen of surfing and environmentalist, Veronica Gray. In the second half, we'll be talking nutrition and the secrets to weight loss. We all know how important nutrition is for healthy living. As I was preparing for the show, something occurred to me. I've been a vegetarian for 3 decades now, and in fact, I have no recollection of the last time I consumed meat. On a rare occasion, I do eat seafood, but after doing today's show, well, it'll be even more rare. Over the past 5 years, I've interviewed hundreds of women about their journeys to success and what is in their hearts to create in this world. And I have learned something of value from each and every one of them. Both of my guests today bring important insight into healthy living, from being fit to being more conscious of what we put in our mouths to being more aware of the health of our planet. After all, if we don't have a healthy planet, then our own personal health is in peril. And I'm not sure that we, as a whole, are really getting that yet.
Welcome to Shannon Skinner Live. On our show, you'll meet some extraordinary guests. Shannon is host of the popular television program and online platform, ExtraordinaryWomenTV.com. Now she brings those resources to a radio platform for an even more in-depth look at the stories and solutions you can use to live your magnificent life and make our world a better place. Now, here's Shannon Skinner.
Well, my first guest is Veronica Gray, who is on a mission to save the sharks and the planet. Her award-winning environmental documentary, Worst Shark Attack Ever, which has been introduced by actor Leonardo DiCaprio, is raising awareness for what she describes as one of the most important environmental issues of our time. Veronica is also the world's most televised surfer, known internationally as the Queen of Surfing. She is also known for her shark repellent innovations, even getting mentioned in Forbes magazine. Is one of the authors of 5 books, including Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, the 5 most important wellness secrets of all time, and is currently traveling around the world documenting the top 10 surf hotels. Well, hello, Veronica. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Shannon, and hello to everyone on Voice America. Thank you so much for listening.
It's great having you here. You are calling in from Peru. What takes you to Peru?
Well, as you mentioned, I am now documenting the top 10 surf hotels in the world. And so anyone who wants to go to the website, it's a work in progress, top10surfhotels.com. And the 10 is the number 10. It's not spelled out. So top10surfhotels.com. And so far, we have 3 listings of the top surf hotels in the world, and I'm here right now at one of them. And so it's here in Peru, home of the world's longest wave. And it's a tough job, but someone's got to go around the world. And if anyone, you know, goes to that site and they say, hey, I know of a resort that would be great, please read on the contact page and let us know so I can come out there and, you know, what we call vet it. I'll check it, I'll surf the waves, and hopefully it'll make it to the top 10.
What a great way to travel the world. And there are a lot of surfers out there, I'm sure, looking for some really cool surfing destinations. So they should check you out. Top 10 surf hotels. Now for those that are listening and they are not surfers or they are not into sort of surfer culture, can you sort of take us back? How did you get the handle Queen of Surfing?
Well, my neighbor on the North Shore of Oahu is the King of Surfing, John Florence, and he's my super friend. You know how it is, your sidekick becomes your buddy, and then it's like, well, every king needs a queen, so I'm the Queen of Surfing. because of him, but I've been doing things on my own well before we met, so I sort of started building a name for myself. I am in no way riding on his coattails, which is why he respects me. Like you mentioned at the top of the hour, I am the world's most televised surfer. None of that had to do anything with him. I also trademarked the world's first ever and only line of shark repellent swimwear and surfboards and wetsuits, and those all saved lives and limbs. But honestly, the best honor he's ever given me is he's referred to me as the best surfer of all time. And so I went ahead and snatched that URL. I'm now bestsurferofalltime.com, and I don't compete. So you can still be a lifestyle surfer and have it in your blood, or a soul surfer, or whatever word you want to call it. You never have to compete, but if it's in your blood, and it's definitely in mine, just like it is in his. So you were saying, what if somebody isn't into surfing? Well, over 60% of the entire world population lives close to the coastline. So even if you're not a surfer, you probably are interested in what's going on in the ocean.
Yes, that's, and in fact, there's some, you have some videos up on your site. I saw on your Facebook, there's actually some footage of you surfing. Anybody wants to see some beautiful, you catching some beautiful waves, there's some video there. Let's talk about your documentary, because this is something that is really important. It's near and dear to your heart, Worst Shark Attack Ever. So tell us a little bit about this project and what inspired it.
Well, Shannon, as I was telling you when we were getting to know each other a few days ago, there are two animals on this planet that are critical to human survival, bees and sharks. Those are the two most important animals on this planet. Bees, because they pollinate our crops. So any time you have food on your plate, there is probably something there that a bee helped pollinate. Now, why sharks are hypercritical to human survival is they were part of the evolution of this planet. They've been here for 400 million years. They were here before birds and trees. So they are the apex predator in the ocean. That means they eat a lot of the smaller fish, and they also eat a lot of the things that die. They're like the vacuum cleaners. They keep the ocean clean. If sharks go extinct, which is what our documentary is about, the smaller fish population would explode because there's nothing to eat them. And this small fish population would end up killing the coral reef because they would eat up the coral reef. And why that is so sad, the coral reef acts like the lungs of the planet. When the sunlight hits the ocean and then it gets absorbed by the coral reef, it sort of is like the lungs, and it cleans the planet and it filters everything. If you have a dead coral reef due to too many small fish eating it because there are no sharks, instead of the sunlight getting absorbed by the coral reef, it will be reflected off the coral reef, and it will create an atmosphere that humans may not be able to survive in. We're talking about sort of the same conditions that killed the dinosaurs. So our documentary, which stars Leonardo DiCaprio and also features The Cure, Worst Shark Attack Ever, can be seen for free by everyone on worstsharkattackever.com. It basically warns people that anytime we are consuming something from the sea, we are driving sharks closer and closer to extinction. And as you and I were discussing a couple days ago, there's so many issues facing the world and threatening the planet that you and I have very little control over. Like, for example, I'm sure everybody's heard about fracking or, you know, chemtrails, all these horrors. But there's very little you and I can do about it on a regular daily basis. However, we all can make a proactive, you know, movement to save the sharks, because anytime you buy anything from the ocean, whether it's sushi or that conditioner for your hair with the product kelp in the ingredients, giant boats are going in the ocean and killing everything in its path to get what it needs. You know, anyone listening to this, just think of how many sushi restaurants are within a mile from you right now as you sit. And so sushi did used to be my favorite food. But when I realized that the facts are sharks could go extinct within this decade. This isn't some kind of problem that is facing our grandchildren, you know, something that we could sweep under the rug and forget about. This is something that is happening now. So every time you decide, I'm just not going to eat sushi, or I'm just not going to buy that shampoo with kelp, you are putting your pocketbook to be your voice, and that is what's going to make a difference and make a difference and make a change in this world, because it's really critical. If you have to have your fish, and I love fish too, there's three types of fish that are not crippling the environment the way normal sushi is and anything from the environment, like shark fin soup, which is the main reason we are driving sharks into extinction. And the three types of fish that are sort of eco-friendly are salmon, mackerel, and herring. So if you can just stick to those three fish, you're doing your part to help save the environment.
Salmon, mackerel, and herring. Shark fin soup, I mean, that's interesting. In fact, as I was preparing for this interview, I know that you speak about the fact that in Japan it is a delicacy. It is something that it has really grown in popularity, and you just mentioned that it is one of the reasons why sharks are being killed at such a rate. Why do you think shark fin soup is so, it doesn't sound appealing to me, but why do you think it's become so appealing in Japan?
Not only is it not appealing, Shannon, but there's absolutely no nutritional value. The only thing it is a status symbol. That is it. That is all. It's one of those freak things that all of a sudden, you know, imagine if there's like this hot new club in town that no one's even heard of, but there's a red velvet rope and it costs $100 to get in. Suddenly, because of some kind of freak thing with a human psyche, that's now the hottest club in town because it's the hardest one to get into. And it's the same thing with shark fin soup. It's $100 a bowl, but there's absolutely no nutritional value and nothing behind it except the fact that it costs $100. So if you want to impress your friends and you say you have some big important business meeting or you have a wedding with 100 people, you serve shark fin soup just because. And that is what's literally killing our planet. Greed for no reason. And that's why people like Leonardo DiCaprio and The Cure have stepped up to be part of our documentary for free. No one is doing this work for any amount of money. And we just really care about the environment. And so please take a look at the video. It's on worstsharkattackever.com. And, you know, let's say you have sushi three times a week. If you will cut it down to even two or one, you're already helping.
Yeah, it's the little bits that we do that collectively starts to make a difference. Because I think, you know, we sort of all suffer from this idea that, you know, one person can't make a difference. Like, how can I? In watching some of your interviews that you've done, I mean, you touch on topics like straws and other plastic and other environmental issues that we're facing in terms of waste, and yet each one of us, it's hard for us to actually believe that we can make a difference, even though it just takes one person and after another person to collectively make a difference.
Yes, and it's just little choices we can do every day. I mean, that's all in the documentary. It's only 21 minutes long, including the credits. And, just please, everyone, be conscious. You can drink a drink without putting a straw in your glass. I'm not sure what the Canadian statistic is, but in America, we go through 50 million straws a day, every single day. And you just use it once and you throw it away, and that ends up in our garbage landfill. And now over 25% of our planet's surface is garbage landfill. 25%. And we use only 11% of our planet to grow food. So we are not doing something right, you know, and we need to change now. Like one of Leonardo DiCaprio's environmental documentaries, The 11th Hour, states, we are in the 11th hour, but I believe in miracles, I believe in prayer, and I also believe in being proactive. And those are all little things we can do. And yes, thank you so much for watching my videos. I mean, I'm all over the internet, thanks to Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm now A-list, so anyone who wants to just Google all these environmental documentaries, please do so.
Yeah, and it's you know, it's a 20-minute. It's the message is important. It's it's not a, you know, as you had mentioned it, to me when we were chatting, it's not a slick Hollywood film. This is a gritty documentary, pulled together footage and whatnot of all sorts of from a variety of places. But the message is very, very important.
It is. It has, you know, it has zero budget. So it's really about the message and the medium. I mean, if I wanted to focus on raising the money to get awareness out, like even Leo will tell you and has told the public, it took him 7 years to raise the financing for The Wolf of Wall Street. You know, I don't have 7 years to raise the financing to let everybody know. The planet doesn't have 7 years. So, yeah, don't expect a slick Hollywood finish. It's just very straight to the point. WorstSharkAttackEver.com.
We have something to learn from you.
Yeah, the worst shark attack ever is us. It's we're the ones. We're the worst shark attack ever.
Yeah, and you know, what we're learning too, or what I'm learning from you as well, is you know, don't wait till you have all your ducks in a row. I mean, it's not a really great expression for this, but let, you know, don't wait until the financing is there to get your project out. Don't wait till everything is perfect to get going on your project if you have a message. That's a beautiful thing about new media now, is just do it and get it out. And I think you've proven that, you know, I mean, you can still do something in low budget or a zero budget and get a message out.
Absolutely. I mean, there's 89,000 videos uploaded to YouTube every single minute. And it was Andy Warhol who said, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes, and that's the length of a YouTube upload. So make your voice be heard. Everyone has a cause. Everyone has a passion. And, yeah, new media is here. It's the wave of the future. It's the wave of the present.
And speaking of waves, as a surfer, okay, I got to ask you, when you're surfing, you've got this shark repellent wear, shark repellent boards that you've invented. You must see sharks occasionally when you're out on the waves.
I do, and depending on the size, I think there are absolutely magnificently beautiful creatures. Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen one person that's bigger than 4 feet. I mean, no, I've seen them in person bigger than that, but I was, like, from a secure place, like the boat or the dock. But I think if I saw something bigger than 4 feet in the water next to me, I would freak out, and I don't want that.
Yeah. So, I mean, because, you know, humans, we are afraid of sharks. So, for your, now, to the surfing that you do, which is magnificent, how do you get over fear? I've got to ask this question. I mean, how do you get over that fear of getting on that board and getting out on those waves and knowing that you're going to be out potentially seeing some sharks? I mean, how do you get past that fear?
You don't let go of the fear. I mean, if you listen to interviews with John, you know, he's the number one surfer as voted by the public. He won the Surfer Poll Awards. Mm-hmm. And he even still does interviews where he says, oh, if Waimea breaks, which is, you know, the big wave in Hawaii, he's like, you better believe I'm going to be afraid. So the best in the world are still afraid. And it's no different than, for example, people who have a fear of speaking and yet they've got to go deliver a speech in front of, you know, hundreds or thousands of people. Every time I get on TV, I have knots on my stomach. And sometimes I don't sleep the night before. I just lay in bed the entire night, wide awake, freaking out that I had to go on TV that morning. But you just work through the fear, and hopefully you can transmute that energy like an alchemist turning lead into gold and just use it to fuel you. But you do not get over the fear. So don't think that one day you're going to stop being intimidated by the water. Just channel it into a healthy respect. In fact, I kind of don't even like to surf unless the wave is intimidating, to be honest. So.
Well, and when I think when we have a mission, when we have a message, and we put that first and focus on that, then we can get over sort of our fears. I think it become not maybe get over it, but it seems to help us sort of ease into the fear. Now, your book, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, The 5 Most Important Wellness Secrets of All Time, tell us about the book.
Well, it delivers exactly as it states. It's what I believe is the 5 most important wellness secrets of all time. It's a very quick read. It's like, you know, in today's day and age, I feel like everyone is busy. Everyone's attention span isn't what it used to be, you know, when Fellini was a director and you can just make indulgent movies that just go on and on. You got to get to the point. And so Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, The 5 Most Important Wellness Secrets of All Time, it debuted at number 1 on Amazon. Last time I checked, it was still in the top 5. I don't check it every day, but I used to. And so I'd like to say that it's a quick 34-page read. It's a $5 download, and it does share the 5 most important wellness secrets of all time. So,
and what is the number 1? What would be the number 1 most important wellness secret of all time?
Well, they all go hand in hand, but I'll give you a really easy one that everyone can implement right away, and that's immediately cut out all alcohol from your diet.
Ah. All right.
Yeah, anyone who's telling you that a glass of wine a day is what's going to keep you healthy is making money off of it. So alcohol is a poison. If it wasn't, pregnant women would be able to drink it. I used to party, I mean heavily, for fun. I didn't have a problem. I've never had to go to AA, but, you know, running around the circles I run around in, champagne is flowing, martinis are flowing, and I haven't touched a drop of alcohol in 2 years. I will never touch a drop of alcohol again as long as I live, now that I've done the research to find out what it really does to your body. And it basically ages you. It really does. And even John has a video on the internet called Happy Pipeline to You. And he also announced that he quit drinking because he was sort of there when I was researching this book. And he wanted to set an example for all the young surfers out there that look up to him. So, yeah, there are the 5 most important wellness secrets, but that's one of them. But, of course, the book goes into greater detail of how it ages you, and it's just not worth it. I mean,
right.
I know a lot of people like to have that glass of wine. Believe me, I cannot tell you how many evenings where I counted calories, and instead of having food, I opted for wine. So I get it, but... when you do the research, and which we give out in the book, it's just not worth it. I love to have that relaxing drink before bedtime, and you know what works? There are 3 drinks I have found to substitute for wine. Number 1, hot chocolate. Number 2, a nice yogurt-based smoothie. Or number 3, a really nice tea like a chamomile. All of them relax you, and they're healthy for you, and they're good for you, and they have properties that reverse the aging process.
And whereas that's great. Well, what great tips. And, you know, we are unfortunately almost out of time, Veronica, and I just want to just there's one more thing I want to cover here before we run out. I am really looking forward to meeting you soon in person at this. You and I are going to be at the Center for Media and Celebrity Studies conference in New York City, September 2nd. I'm going to get a chance to meet you in person, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I know that you're going to be talking about and showing your documentary film, Worst Shark Attack Ever. Before you leave us, give us your top success tip, that good to know minute, that one thing that has made you successful, that one thing has made you who you are today.
Humility.
Humility.
I've met Steven Spielberg, and I spent 5 minutes alone with the guy, and he treated every single person in that room as if they were Barack Obama. And it didn't matter if you were the waitress or Barack Obama. He treated everyone the same. And I was like, this is a guy who's at the top of his game, totally could act like the biggest jerk on the planet. And he was so humble and so down to earth. And I learned more from 5 minutes with him than I did in about 6 months of acting school. And I've sort of embodied who he is as a person in what I do. It's like, I don't care how much more successful I get. Like right now, I'm staying at the top hotel in all of Peru. And I don't care if it's the cleaning lady in my room or the concierge guy. I treat them all like they're Barack Obama. And that's the secret to my success.
Well, thank you, Veronica. Great having you here. And of course, anyone who wants to watch your film again, Worst Shark, the URL is worstasharkattackever.com, and they can find out more about you at bestasurferofalltime.com. Thank you so much. And of course, your upcoming site, top10surfhotels.com. Veronica, thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and telling us about your projects. I certainly look forward to meeting you very soon in New York City at the Center for Media Celebrity Studies Conference. And I wish you all the best, and be safe in Peru.
Thank you. You as well. Are you and I able to talk for a second before I hang up?
Yes, we can. Okay, so I'm just going to throw it to break. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about nutrition and the secrets to weight loss right here on Shannon Skinner Live. So stay with us.
Think of inspiring women. Who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
Are you ready to move to your next level? Listen for Empowering Women, Transforming Lives with host Rebecca Hall Greider. Each show will focus on a central topic with discussion, guests, and your questions being featured. Our show is perfect for women who feel a call in their heart to step out in a bigger, more powerful way in their life and just need some encouragement, inspiration, and practical steps to support them on their journey. Empowering Women, Transforming Lives can be heard live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Women's Channel. And join us for a replay of the show on Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, leaders are working to transform themselves and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lin, for insights on emerging trends and business innovations to help you stay ahead of the game. You'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention live every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are tuned in to Shannon Skinner Live. To reach our show today, please call 1-866-613-1612. Again, that's 1-866-613-1612. If you'd rather send an email, the address is info@shannonskinner.com. Now, back to Shannon Skinner Live.
Welcome back to Shannon Skinner Live. I'm your host, Shannon Skinner. Well, my next guest, food and nutrition is her passion. Jessa Nowak is a registered dietitian and runs a blog in Health and Wealth. She has a master's degree in nutritional science from California State University, Long Beach, and has worked as a food safety expert. She is based in Orange County, Southern California. Well, welcome to the show, Jessa.
Hi.
Nice having you here today.
Great. It's great to be here.
Now, you are, food nutrition is your passion. You're also a new mom to a baby girl, an 18-month-old. You have two dogs. You've got a career, a busy career. You're busy.
Yes, to say the least, yes.
How do you stay healthy and busy when you've got such a busy life? I mean, there are so many women listening that are career moms, working moms. They have children. How do you stay healthy?
You know, honestly, it just comes down to priorities. Nutrition is a big, big part of my life, and I stay up late and I make healthy meals that my daughter can have in the morning. I freeze them. I make sure that the food that I buy is extraordinarily fresh. I go out of my way to really place an importance on healthy eating. I know my daughter's only 18 months old, but, you know, every time we sit down at the dinner table, I explain what's on her plate and I explain how healthy, you know, her spinach is and why it's healthy. Really just using what I've learned in school and keeping that in the forefront of my life has really helped me stay healthy, lose the baby weight, and keep my family healthy as well.
So for many working moms, there's a lot of people sort of now that are adults that are also in the sandwich generation. So they are taking care of their parents, they're taking care of their kids. These are women who are working very hard in their careers or jobs or businesses, whatever they may be doing. How important is nutrition for creating a successful life, you know, enabling us to follow our dreams? How important is nutrition in that aspect?
It's incredibly important. I currently work in the long-term care industry, so what I see is a lifetime of poor nutrition habits that manifest in chronic diseases like diabetes, hyperlipidemia, renal disease, people ending up on dialysis. So really, if you're not taking care of yourself throughout your life, you can't have a successful future in the fact that you're going to be mainly focused on managing chronic diseases that have come because of choices in the past. So it is a really tough thing because if you have a donut every day for breakfast, really the effects of it, you're not going to see it for years down the line. So you have to know the risks, which are pretty few in the current, but in the future they're heavy. So just being aware that keeping a trim waistline, working out, and being overall healthy is really important for your future. Because if not, then, you know, you're not going to be worried about your career. You're not going to be worried about how much money you make, because what it comes down to is health as the number one priority. Because when you or a family member is sick or ill or in the hospital or managing a chronic disease, that's what takes over. You know, it's no longer, oh, let me follow my dreams. It's, oh, I have to take care of, you know, so-and-so to keep them well.
So, I mean, health obviously is, I mean, as we know, health is important, but without your health, you cannot follow, how can you follow your dreams? That makes it much more challenging. I guess that's really the point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, being educated on how important it is and placing a priority in your life to make changes. And I guess that's the number one thing when I'm counseling anyone on weight loss or getting healthy is the first step is assessing your readiness to change. And that's what dietitians do. If you go see a dietitian, that's one of the first things that they'll do is kind of assess you. Are you kind of on the back burner? Yeah, I want to lose weight. Yeah, I want to get healthy. Or are you ready and raring to go? So you have to, I think, assess yourself. Are you ready to change? And if you're not at a 7, 8, 9, or 10, then it's going to be really difficult to implement lifelong changes. After you determine that, kind of putting in place a plan to make that happen. So if you're just strapped for time, knowing that time is your least valuable resource that you have in hand, you've got to find creative ways to make more. So whether that's putting yourself to bed earlier than you'd like, so you can wake up earlier in the morning to either do your workouts or, you know, make a healthy meal for your family or whatever it may be. You just have to find where you're lacking and use creative ways to make it better, I guess, if that makes sense.
So going back to point number one is actually really interesting, assessing readiness to change. Do you find that most people, when it comes to weight management or weight, let's say weight loss, before we even get into weight management, but weight loss, are most people not ready to change that?
No, most people are not.
Because I know that in going through some of your material here, 45 million Americans diet each year.
Absolutely. It's an astounding fact, and I'm sure you, and I'm sure you know every single person who's either at least tried to lose weight or talked about losing weight or talked about being fat, quote unquote. It's an obsession in today's society.
And so we're not, most people are not yet ready to change that, that they're just hanging on to, for whatever reason, they're hanging on to that weight.
Right. And, you know, it's, food is a very interesting thing. From day one, when we're born, we start eating. It's a very personal relationship that you have with food. And so for somebody else, either a doctor or a dietitian or even another friend or family member, to try and tell you, hey, you need to change this about such an intimate relationship, it's really off-putting to most people. So that's why changing, it's so difficult, because you've had a lifelong relationship that's one way, and you have to learn how to change it. It's just like in any sort of other relationship, you know. If you always fight or yell in your family, it's really difficult to overcome that, because your brain is hardwired that way. So to change the pathways in your brain to make different decisions, it takes a long time to make that the new norm.
And does this play into emotional eating? Is that when we talk about our relationship with food? I've been reading some articles recently on emotional eating, and that this is becoming a very a bigger issue maybe than we've ever had before. So is that, you know, when we're looking for food for comfort, and, you know, we've got somebody saying, no, don't do that. Are you saying that that's really, that ties into our relationship with food, and that's part of why it's so hard to let go?
Absolutely. You know, different strokes for different folks. Everyone has got their own issues when it does come to food. especially dietitians, you know, you never meet somebody who isn't obsessed with food in one way or another. But yes, absolutely. A lot of people, they stress eat, they overeat when they're feeling depressed. They're, you know, reaching for, especially when hormone changes during their menopause or right before their period. You know, hormones have a lot to do with that as well. But yes, grabbing food to ease feelings is never good. So that's one of the things that most of the time I'm counseling on. It's not, hey, yes, you know, how to read a food label. Yes, it's very important. But the root cause of why you're overeating, why you're choosing the foods you're choosing, that's what we really try and dig into and identify and shed some light on the fact that, you know, are you an emotional eater? Are you choosing these foods because you're not feeling that great and you want to feel better somehow? It's really the same as an alcoholic, you know, being obsessed with overeating. A lot of people have no control, so they think, because that's just what they've done and that's what makes them feel better. And then, you know, the pounds just come pouring on. So really, it's not an easy answer that I can give you, but seeing a dietitian would really help you if you feel like you are an emotional eater, to try and overcome that.
So when we're emotionally eating, would you say that that is numbing ourselves? It's numbing pain, like sort of any other addiction, alcohol addiction,
absolutely,
or whatever? Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it might be a mild case that, mm-hmm. you know, you might not even realize, and it might be more pronounced. So, like I said, it's just totally different for everybody.
So for you as a dietitian, then the first thing you do is assess readiness, someone's readiness to change. So if they've put on too much weight, are they ready to really do what it takes to take it off and make that change? The second you'd mentioned was a plan to make it happen. So what could that plan look like? There's examples of what is, you know, when you start to make a plan, how do you know that somebody is actually truly ready and actually really starting to ready to put that plan into action?
Right. Well, the first, I mean, really, it's the last step, is making attainable goals. You know, you don't want to put too much pressure on yourself, especially if you're not as ready to change as you may one day be. But putting together a couple goals for yourself that you know is easy and is attainable to reach, like, for instance, not eating after dinner. That's an attainable goal. Not changing anything else during the day, but just focusing on one small thing. And once you've accomplished that, then you can kind of move on to others. Some people, that might be too big of a step. Some people, you know, just cutting out condiments during meals. Whatever it may be, you just have to find small changes that you can make, because those small incremental changes do result in big, big outcomes. And the hardest thing with the weight loss is it's not immediate, especially if your readiness to change is smaller. That means your changes will be smaller, and that means that the pounds will kind of linger on longer than you'd like. And that's where most people get very, very upset, you know, when they give up, because they're not seeing these rapid results that some fad diets claim to offer, you know. So it's really tough.
You know, I read an article, I'm not really sure exactly, I can't now recall where I read it. It was, it had to do with, you know, the whole, what's become a fad now is to doing fasts or a cleanse. And this expert said, let's get real here. A cleanse is really about a crash diet, you know.
Oh, sure.
Let's get Right. You know, we call it a cleanse, and we think we're being healthy when we're doing it. But at the end of the day, what we're really doing is trying to do rapid weight loss.
Sure.
Does that work? I mean, you know, I mean, are people losing weight and then able to keep it off with a cleanse?
The answer is no, but I'm not going to discount the idea altogether.
Right.
To lose weight, fad diets and cleanses and detoxes, they don't work. And it's obvious because it's not sustainable.
Right.
And I think it's an astounding statistic, but I think 90% of fad diets like result in actually more weight gain than you were originally trying to lose. So it's counterproductive, absolutely. What really works, and studies have found that there's five keys to proven methods of weight loss.
All right, so let's go through those.
Let's go through
five
those.
Keys to proven weight loss.
Okay, so the first one is this is for weight loss. This is to make a large amount of weight come off. And I remind my husband all the time that, like, when you're losing weight, it's going to take time and it's going to take effort. But once you get it off, that maintenance period, it's glory. You know, you can do that forever. So just dedicate a couple months of your life to this, and then you can go back and live how you want to live, healthy, you know? So I just want to preface that. It's attainable. So the first step is high levels of physical activity. So essentially, in one word, I like to say sweat. And every workout that you do, you've got to sweat. And I'm not talking little beads of sweat on your brow. Like, I want your shirt wet.
Or get in a swimming pool and get all wet.
That too. Swimming is a great exercise. But, I mean, you got to decide how often you work out, what does your schedule allow for, what is your readiness to change level on how many days you're going to work out. You've got to decide that. Nobody else can do that for you. But if you're willing to dedicate 3 days a week and you're sweating those 3 days a week, you're going to see major changes, especially when coupled with a healthy diet.
Okay, so number one, what's key here is high level of physical activity, at least 3 days a week.
All right. So the second one is, you know, this is not a surprise, but a lower calorie diet. I know we've all heard of the high protein diets and, you know, cutting out major food groups. While the Atkins diet, it does show quicker weight loss, once you stop, the weight does come back on. So what I like to encourage people to do is don't eliminate carbs, just cut them. Cut them in half. Do what you normally do, but just cut them in half. Eat a moderate amount of protein, and fill up on fruits and vegetables. So if you can kind of assess how many calories you're eating, I don't really advocate for calorie counting, but, you know, knowing how to read a food label, kind of take yourself through a food diary if possible, and then cutting what you need to do to lose weight is cut 250 calories to 500 a day. I mean, we've all heard that. So just eating less than you normally do, that's number two. And like I said, no big secret there.
So it's kind of an equation that would look like this. Less input, more output.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, so number three. So we've got, well, first, number one, more physical activity. Number two, lower calorie intake. And then number three would be?
It's eating more, actually. A lot of people don't eat enough throughout the day. I'm sure we've all heard of the six small meals a day, and honestly, that is the best way to go, because of multiple reasons. Number one, you're not getting ravenously hungry throughout the day, just waiting for dinner to come, and then you're overeating and binging on dinner, and then you feel like crap afterwards. You don't want to do that. You want to have your breakfast, mid-morning snack, lunch, afternoon snack, dinner, and then a snack before bedtime. That's what I do. That's what I encourage other people to do. But the key is there's no overeating at any of those times. You eat, and then you listen for your satiety cue. I guarantee you, if you sit down at a meal, about halfway through, you're going to, if you're listening to your body's going to say, I'm kind of full. I'm getting full. And most of us, we continue and eat the rest of the meal. But if you just take a couple more bites, put your fork down, you're going to be satisfied. And the key here is tricking your brain. I can eat this later. I can have the rest of this at my snack in a couple hours. That's the key.
And number four?
You have to self-monitor your weight, and that doesn't always mean using a scale. You can use your pants that are a little bit smaller, and that's what I advocate to use. Get rid of your scale and just kind of try on your pants from like time to time, because you don't want to be attached to a number on a scale.
That's really important, isn't it? And plus, scales change. Every scale that you step on is going to give you a different weight. So,
absolutely. And right. You know, mine upstairs, it's terrible. It's not accurate at all. And plus, your worth does not come from a number. It comes from how you feel in your own body.
Right. Yes, and that's actually a really good point. So self-monitoring your weight, ideally by using a pair of pants. And number five?
Eat the same as you do on the weekends as you do on the weekdays. A lot of us tend to kind of go overboard, myself including, on the weekends because, hey, it's the weekend. But studies have shown that successful weight loss comes from eating about the same.
Well, and on weekends, too, what often happens is that, people tend to maybe socialize a bit more on a weekend, I suppose, depending on what your lifestyle is. And the factor, what sort of factors into that is maybe drinking more alcohol, which has more calories on a weekend.
Certainly. Absolutely.
So beware of that,
And that's not to say, I don't really follow this as for myself because I'm maintaining right now. Mm-hmm. But if you do decide to go out to dinner and have a couple glasses of wine, have your appetizer and an entree and a dessert, that's all fine. Absolutely. In the weight maintenance phase. But you've got to account for that somewhere else. So, for instance, all your other meals leading up to that big dinner, you've got to cut it because you want to save your calories for later. So it's like you're accounting. You've got X amount of calories, let's say 1,800 in the day that you've got to work with. So use them where you want, but you just have that number.
Right. So this is great. Just to sort of summarize then, the five keys to proven weight loss, or five proven keys to weight loss is that, number one, more physical activity. Two, lower your calorie intake. Three, eat more throughout the day. Four, self-monitor your weight by ideally using a pair of pants and not a scale. And then five, eat the same throughout the week as you would on throughout the week and weekends. So, and then watch things like, be mindful of things like alcohol. So that adds a lot of calories. So I think that this has been really insightful. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I mean, the more I can help somebody and, feel better in their body, that's my goal.
And we are almost out of time. Before we sort of leave you here, if you could just give us that one good to know tip that is your top success tip, that one thing that has made you who you are today.
I would say that throughout my life I've followed this, and it's to produce work that I would be proud to publicly share.
Produce work.
Means, what that means to me, how I do that is I organize my thoughts, my workspace, my documents. I have to be organized. And also prioritizing, just like with weight loss, you know, setting deadlines. And the key, I think, for me also is to keep learning. Don't just be stagnant in what you've got, because you're going to get trampled by everybody. You've got to keep on top, keep learning, keep reading. And if you produce work that you'd be proud to share with keeping your knowledge base up, that's what's going to move you to the top.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being here today with us and sharing some insight and tips. And I wish you all the best. I know that you are so busy, and I really appreciate your time. So now, for anyone who wants to find out more about you, how you might be able to help them, more about your blog in Health and Wealth, where can they find you on the internet?
InWealthAndHealth.com is my blog, and it has all my contact info. I do many personal nutrition assessments for people. It's an easy form you can fill out, and I can let you know calories you need, protein you need for weight loss, weight management, plus a easy guide to learning how to read a food label if you don't already know how to do that. Plus a bunch of awesome healthy recipes and overall health and wellness articles.
Love it. Well, Jessa, thank you so much for, I was going to call you Jessica, I don't know why, but thank you so much for being here today. I certainly wish you all the best, and I look forward to catching up with you again in the near future.
Oh, great. Thanks a bunch, Shannon. I appreciate it.
I have been speaking with Jessica Nowak. She is a registered dietitian based in Orange County, Southern California. That's the end of our program today. For more information about the show, I invite you to visit my website at shannonskinner.com. And to keep the conversation going, follow me on Twitter at @Shannon_Skinner and connect with me on Facebook and Instagram. You've been listening to Shannon Skinner Live. I'm Shannon. Join us again next week.
That's all we have time for this week on Shannon Skinner Live. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Women's Channel. We can't wait to talk again soon. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Women's Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericawomen.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.